Well, thanks, Colin. It is such a privilege to be here with you this morning. And yes, I get to travel around and visit, but really coach, mentor, and get together with pastors who work with me and help me grow in my life as we follow Jesus on mission together, because that's what it's all about. That is our desire in what we're doing. I have a privilege of being with the national team of the Evangelical Missionary Church of Canada for the last 10 years. I can hardly believe that. It's been 10 years that I've been in this role. I've been growing in this role. I hope I've gotten better at it. I don't know sometimes if that's true or not. But we have a national team that we have a large geography to cover. We have about 150 or so congregations across Canada, and I work in Western Canada, in Saskatchewan, Alberta, and British Columbia, along with my cohort, Lynn Dietz, and we kind of share this geography together. So I want to bring greetings from our president, Phil Delso, and you can pray for Phil. Boy, he has been, just like all of us, kind of all over the place. It's been a very full season of ministry, but a good season. But Phil has been away more than home during this fall time. He's been in India. We were just in Montreal, and then Saskatchewan. We have various pastors' retreats to go to, and it's challenging work. But it's the work of Christ as we are striving this journey to follow Jesus together. So please pray for Phil and our national team. I want to I want to thank you. Thank you for being a part of this big family, this small family in some ways, but this larger family of the Evangelical Missionary Church. I thank you for your contributions, for your ministry, for how you participate with this larger group that is striving to touch Canada and reach around the world. And you're a part of that, and I want to give you thanks for that. I live in Didsbury with my wife, Diana. We have three children, all of them out of home right now. But we're thankful for that. And, you know, I know Colin and Patty will be experiencing that for the next 8 months. It's a journey if you've had that empty nest thing. You know, we found that in our home. I just want to give you a couple of other things to pray for. One is a new church plant, actually. Next Sunday, I'll be with them. They'll be celebrating their one-year anniversary. They've been on this journey. Happy Family Christian Ministries of Calgary. Pray for Pastor Lafayette Bracewell and his leadership team, as they are a group that has they're multicultural, but they've come over from Liberia. And Liberia, West Africa, and I kind of think of that name, Happy Family. It kind of sounds strange to us, but if you're from Liberia, you know, most recently they've had the Ebola outbreak and they've had constant civil war. So the brokenness, the death that they come over, if you would have hear Pastor Lafayette's story, you would say, wow, how did you even make it through to come to Canada? But they have... They come from brokenness in their lives, and they've immigrated to this country. But I find it interesting, is there just as much brokenness in our families in Canada as there may be in Liberia? Rod had shared that as well. And so pray for Happy Family Christian Ministries of Calgary. Just lift them up. I want to share with you this morning about following Jesus. And I don't know if, yes, let's go to the next slide here. So as a national team, we've been on a journey to try and help our local churches to do the main thing. And we all know it's make disciples who make disciples. But when I've gone and talked to people about making disciples, more often than not, I get feedback on different perspectives on what a disciple is. So for us, we've just developed this. There's no magic in this. There's other ways to say it, but we've developed the seven ways of following Jesus, or what we call the way of Jesus, in order to describe for us what it means to follow Jesus and be on mission for him. And so I think you can see this. I'd like us just to say these words together. Can you do that with me? Let's say these words together, following Jesus. Let's start with the first one. His life. I have begun following Jesus and I'm depending on the Spirit of Jesus on my journey. His mission. I am being sent by Jesus to bless others and invite them to follow him. His character. I am learning to be like Jesus in my attitudes, behaviors, and character. His love. I am learning to love God and love others. His teaching. I am learning the teachings of Jesus. His disciples. I am helping someone, and someone is helping me be a growing follower of Jesus. And his community. I am participating in the community of followers of Jesus on mission to the world. Just before I continue, I want to say I have a lot of stories about what the broader EMCC is doing across our nation and in other countries. I just decided to skip that for time, but if you want to talk to me about that after, feel free, okay? I want to concentrate on the first one this morning, his life. I have begun following Jesus, and I'm depending on the Spirit of Jesus on my journey. By the way, Spirit of Jesus, by that, is absolutely connected to the same thing, the Holy Spirit. If you look at Acts 16, it's simply another name for the Holy Spirit, okay? I just want to make that clear. So we're depending on the Spirit of Jesus. And when we were developing this, I first of all thought, well, this is the first thing you do. You begin to follow Jesus. But in reality, I know that in my life, this is a continual journey to follow Jesus. I at the age of 7, which was about 20 years ago, you laugh. I made a commitment to follow Jesus. And I know, though, that throughout my life, I have continued to make that commitment. Now, I'm not talking about assurance of salvation here, okay? It's not what I'm saying. I'm saying it's a daily experience of, who am I following? I have made a decision to follow Jesus. I'm depending on his Spirit, but sometimes I get stuck. Sometimes I get off track, and I need to be reminded what it's all about. When I was a little boy, we lived in Redwater, Alberta. And Redwater is a little bit north of Edmonton. And we had not the paved streets, but the dirt streets where we lived. And of course, when it rained in the spring, that dirt became mud. It was gumbo mud. If you've ever heard of gumbo mud, it's this nice thick stuff. And I remember, after a real hard spring rain, going out in my hand-me-down rubber boots, going into the middle of the road. For some reason, I had to be in the middle because that was the thickest mud there. And I started moving my feet back and forth, and I started to sink slowly into that mud. And I thought that was really cool until about 30 seconds later, I wanted to get moving on. And I couldn't move. The boots were stuck, and I started pulling and yanking at those boots, and I couldn't move at all. I thought in my thinking that I would be stuck there for life. A car would actually come and run me over. I'd be dead. And so I started to cry. I started to scream for help. Help! Help me! And I was crying, and then something very fortunate happened. My older brother came walking down the sidewalk. Yeah, you're laughing. He was too. And he came He came walking down the sidewalk. He came to the edge of the sidewalk before the road, and he gave me some words that have changed my life through the rest of my life. He said, "Step out of the boots, dummy." It's true. We get stuck, and what we need to do is step out of the boots. If we're following a God who knows everything about us, who's taking us on a journey, we need to allow him to lead and guide. And when we get stuck, it's step out of the boots and allow him. I want to talk to you today about what it means to step out of the boots, to follow Jesus and depend upon his Spirit. So, before us today, if we look at who we are following, what comes to your mind? I think today we probably have more things to follow than ever. More things to give our lives to, and I think that people do that all around us. And they fall short all the time. Things like money and possessions and even just giving myself to my job. Now, there's nothing wrong with working hard, but when it becomes all-encompassing and we're working towards that instead of following Jesus, we get into trouble. Or even sometimes relationships or entertainment, recreation. There's lots and lots of things to follow. We do everything sometimes, but remember that the most important thing is to follow Jesus. So let's talk today about what it means. I have begun following Jesus, and I'm depending on the Spirit of Jesus on my journey. If you have your Bibles, you can turn with me to Mark chapter 1, verse 16 through 20, a very familiar passage of Scripture. It's also up on the slide. Again, today I'm not going to share with you anything that you haven't heard before, but this is a reminder, it's an invitation. And of course, here we read the first invitation from Mark's perspective of Jesus inviting his followers to follow him. Let's read together. Mark 1:16. Passing alongside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men." And immediately they left their nets and they followed him. And going on a little farther, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were in their boats mending the nets. And immediately he called them. And they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and followed him. So what does it mean to follow? What does it mean to follow? It's more than just following somebody on Twitter or Facebook, friending somebody. Really, to follow means to engage in a calling or a new way of life. You're following somebody. To pursue that way of life. To accept who's ever leading, their authority, and obey them. In fact, in the original language in this passage, literally it can be translated, "Come after me." Jesus was saying, "Come after me. Come after me. Do what I do. Say what I say. Live as I live. Follow me as I follow the Father. Become like me." That's what Jesus was saying. That's what he was describing. And this is an invitation. Jesus wasn't saying, "You, get right behind me." He was inviting them. And Jesus regularly gave an invitation. In fact, if you look through the Gospels, you will see that in most cases, Jesus is not, although he's even proclaiming woes to the Pharisees, he always says, "If you want to, if you will. He's always giving the invitation. And I want to express to you today that Jesus today is giving us an invitation. It's an invitation to decide to follow. The call to follow Jesus was to imitate him, to follow his example. But it's also that call, remember, it's that call to follow him as Lord, as master of our lives. As Lord over every single aspect. Do you notice in this passage, in verse 18, it says that these guys immediately left everything and followed. That is a key principle in following Jesus. Now that scares us, right? What does this mean? And we, you know, I don't think we get the full blown picture here. Jesus was calling them and they left everything. What happened? Like, how come just somebody walks along the beach and says, come follow me, and all of a sudden these guys are dropping everything to follow him? It's significant to leave everything behind. Sometimes when we follow Jesus, we have a lot of things that we're carrying. And we don't release it. We don't take it off. We don't lay it all down. It's significant to leave everything behind. And it was immediate obedience because they were saying, okay, we're going to follow you no matter what. You see, salvation is absolutely a free gift. But following Jesus may cost us everything. Let me say that again. Salvation is a free gift, but following Jesus will cost us everything. Jesus said, take up your cross and follow me. You know, there's people in other countries of the world today that they don't understand a Christianity, that people kind of make an hour and a half or 2 hours on a Sunday and come to church, and then the rest of the week they're doing other things. They have no understanding of what that's about. And I'm not saying that's the case for you here, but for some people, that's what it looks like. For them, Christianity, if you say I'm a Christian, it could mean the cost of their lives. You remember about a month ago, or maybe it was a little bit more, the guy who comes into the schoolroom. You remember this. And he points a gun at the students, and he said, are you a Christian? Are you a Christian? And if they said yes, well, you're going to see Jesus in 30 seconds. And they were gone. There is a cost in following Jesus. It means dropping everything. What causes us to drop everything and follow? I can think of another thing. If there's a crisis in my family, I'm going to drop everything. I'm going to go there and be with them. Following Jesus means taking off everything and following him. I think sometimes, folks, if we ask ourselves this morning, who are we following? And are we following only Jesus? Is he the most important? Have we let everything else go? I wonder if we'd come to a conclusion that maybe there's some stuff that we're still carrying around and we need to release. When my kids were little, we went on hikes. And I remember this one hike. As the little kids will do, everybody wants to be in front. They, you know, I want to be first, and there's this small, thin trail, and there's kind of this pushing and shoving. And as any pastor would do with his kids, I said these words to them, you know, the first shall be last, and the last shall be first. Because they were all getting, you know, I want to be first, I want to be first. Well, when I said that, this is exactly what happened. Well, I want to be last. I want to be last. Folks, following Jesus means that it may cost us everything, but it's an invitation to follow. Are we following Jesus as Lord in our lives with our time? In reality, it's not our time anyway. It's His. With our possessions, it's not ours. We may have been blessed with a number of things, but it's really not ours. Whose is it? Think of the rich young ruler. He wanted to know how to get into heaven. He'd done everything. Except Jesus said, well, go sell everything to the poor and then come follow me. There's a great cost in that. Our relationships. Whose relationships has God placed in our lives? Are we placing the proper order there? Following Jesus. And then I want to talk about depending on the Spirit of Jesus or trusting Jesus. Let's just turn over quickly to Luke's perspective on this same encounter that Jesus had with inviting his disciples to follow. Luke 5, verse 6 through 10. And just note in this passage, Luke 5, verse 6, just before that, Jesus is walking along the shore. These people are fishermen, professional fishermen. They're fishing. There's nothing being caught. And Jesus walks along the shore and he says, put your nets on the other side of the boat. And they do. And here's what happens. And when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish and their nets were breaking. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees saying, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord. For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, don't be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men. I want to let you know that our God is faithful and can do the impossible. When things seem bleak, when there's nothing coming in, Jesus can come along and say, put your nets on the other side. And the impossible happens. Our God wants to help us. But it does mean depending on Him, listening to Him, following Him. Following Jesus as Lord, as Peter exclaimed, means that He is the Lord, He is the ruler, He is the one who commands. He is our leader, He is our chief. Not only do we follow Jesus, but we have the opportunity to be dependent upon a faithful God whom we can trust. It's all about being submissive to Him. When my daughter was just young, we did something that all Canadian dads do, at least in the prairies. You teach your kids to skate. We went to a skating rink, and she had her skates on, and she was pushing a chair around, kind of keeping her balance, and after a while, she kind of got the hang of swinging her feet a little bit, you know, pushing off. And I said to Jennifer, you know, okay, you've gotten an idea about this now. Do you want to just skate around with me? I'll hold your hand. She said, okay. So we started skating around the ice. We were skating for a bit, holding hands. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, Jennifer just kind of looks up at me and she says these words, Daddy, I like it when you hold my hand. Every dad wants to hear that, something like that, from their daughter especially, right? But, you know, I don't know what came over me. I just asked a question out of the blue. I said, well, Jennifer, tell me why, what's the reason you like holding my hand? And so we were skating. She was thinking for a little bit. And then she said these words, Daddy, when I hold your hand, it makes me feel stronger and braver. Folks, we have a Father who wants to hold our hand. And it doesn't matter the circumstance, the challenges that we're facing in life. And I know in a group like this, there are some of you today that are facing really hard stuff. And you have a father who just is saying, hold on to my hand. Hold on to my hand. Our God is faithful. We can depend on him. And isn't it true that when we depend upon the Spirit of Jesus, when we hold his hand, that those things that we're in crisis with, that we're challenged with, sometimes the challenges can still be there, but how much better it is to hold on to the Father's hands. And he takes us through that. I have begun following Jesus, and I'm depending on the Spirit of Jesus on my journey. I believe that God speaks to us today. Sometimes he speaks to us through his word. Sometimes he speaks to us through actually a voice. Sometimes he speaks to us through other believers. God speaks to us in many different ways. And he's inviting us to follow and depend upon him. The question before us is, who are we depending on? I think the invitation is out for us again today. Who are we following and depending on? Ourselves? On others? Maybe? Maybe we make a lot of money? We can depend on that. Our possessions, our work. Maybe we'll get a good education and we can depend on that. The invitation this morning is Jesus saying, come follow me. Come depend upon me. And this is a daily experience. It's not about that assurance of salvation, but it's about following. And the cost may be great because it may mean giving up stuff that we hold precious. But Jesus has something more precious. And depending on him, because he is faithful and we can trust in him. This morning, there may be some here that the Holy Spirit is talking to. And the invitation is out there. It says, come follow me. And the Holy Spirit is saying, you may be in the most challenging place in your life right now, or there's challenges that you think are impossible. But Jesus says, nothing is impossible. I am a faithful God. I have begun following Jesus, and I'm depending on the Spirit of Jesus on my journey. Again, I believe that God speaks to us, and I remember one day I was doing devotions in my home office, and I don't remember what I was reading in the Bible, I don't remember what I was praying, but all of a sudden, I had this sense, a voice said to me, Brian, will you follow me if your wife is taken away? What is this? What? And I ignored it, as I sometimes do. And I kept reading and praying, and the voice came back. Brian, will you follow me if your wife is taken away from you? And I was confused. And I said, well, yes, Lord. But I don't understand. Like, we're newly married. She wasn't sick. We were facing those challenges of the first year of marriage. I don't understand. But yes, Lord, I will follow you. About 2 weeks later, we were out in a garden that we had outside of town. And it was a chilly fall morning. And so she decided to go back, to drive back into town to get some gloves. And I said, okay, I'll keep working here. About 2 minutes later, heard a big crash. And the train tracks were right by where we were, and she was just crossing the tracks, and the train came by and T-boned the vehicle, and she was gone immediately. And I was in a mess. And I have to confess, at that moment, I didn't remember the few weeks before message at all. But through this time, I found out that there was a faithful God who I could hang on to his hand. And that he was always, always, always inviting me to follow no matter what in my life. And folks, God is a gracious God. I've been now married to Diana for 29 years, three wonderful kids. I feel blessed and all that. But folks, when God is inviting, he doesn't leave us just alone, even though there might be difficult things ahead. He is a faithful God, and we can depend on him. So I ask again, who are you following? Who are you depending on? Maybe today you hear the Spirit's voice saying, follow me. There might be challenges ahead, but follow me. I'm with you. Maybe there's a big struggle and you're saying, I don't know what to do. And the God of the impossible says, hold on to my hand. Depend on me. I've begun following Jesus, and I'm depending on the Spirit of Jesus on my journey. Let's pray. And I'd like to pray for you today. If you have, if you feel that the Spirit is tugging at your heart, just, I would ask you to just respond to him. There are these prayer chairs over here. You can come at any time and just be available to be prayed with as God's speaking into your heart. Let's pray together. Lord, you are a God who invites us to follow you and is always faithful and dependable. Thank you for that, Lord. As we're on this journey, as sometimes life hits us hard, you do not leave us alone. Help us to grasp a hold of your hand. Help us to hear your invitation and follow no matter what. We give ourselves to you again today in Jesus' name. Amen.